This is the Riches from the Pages radio broadcast with evangelist Adam Borden, brought to you by Wahoo Baptist Church in Murrayville, Georgia. We invite you to join us for this time of mining the unsearchable riches of God's Word. And now, evangelist Adam Borden.
Thank you, Brother Les, and thank you once again for joining us today for the Riches from the Pages radio broadcast. We certainly have enjoyed these days looking into the books of Ezra and Nehemiah as we venture to go and look at what happened when God's people came back to a point where they were rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the church, rebuilding their homes, rebuilding the barriers, the walls, going back to worship that pleased God, and going back to the Word of God. And I thank you today once again for joining us. Turn in your Bibles, if you're able to the book of Ezra, and we're going to begin reading where we left off last time in verse number 4. Now, if you'll remember, just as a quick overview, 70 years of captivity has come to a close. King Cyrus' heart was moved by God to allow all those Hebrews whom God would put in their heart to go back to Jerusalem, to Judah, to rebuild the temple that had been burned and destroyed, rebuild the walls that had been torn down. And so here we are now. In our last time together, we read how that the altar was rebuilt. The people came 50,000 strong as one man and rebuilt the altar to once again recognize the burnt offering sacrifices that pleased God. We pick up reading in verse 4. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom and the duty of every day required, and afterward offered the continual burnt offering both of the new moons and of the set feast of the Lord that were consecrated, and of every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundations of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. And they gave money also unto the masons, and to the carpenters, and the meat and drink, and the oil unto them of Zidon, and to them of Tyre, to the sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, in the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, and the priests, and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their sons, their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. Now, I want to stop reading right there in the middle of verse number 11, and let us go back and see what we've read. We have before us in these verses two separate groups of people. You've got two separate groups of remnant Hebrews who have now come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and to go forward and rebuild the walls and rebuild the homes, reestablish worship, and reestablish the Word in its proper place as the centerpiece of their lives as the people of God. Now, two separate groups of people that we'll read about here in these verses. One is the group of people who are a remnant of people who came from Jerusalem and Judah during the captivity time, who were taken by Nebuchadnezzar and brought into captivity into Babylon and in the surrounding areas, and had survived 70 years outside of their homeland, 70 years out from under the Word of God, 70 years without about the sacrifices of God and the ordinances of God being observed. And then we have a separate group of people who have never stepped foot into Jerusalem or Judah or the promised land the entirety of their lives, so that everything that they are experiencing is brand new. The words that we read back in these verses, that God's mercy endureth forever, is taken directly in your King James Bible from Psalm chapter 136, a psalm of David. They had not sung that song the whole time they were in captivity, but it was a new song to them, yet old and a standard for those ancient ones who had been in Jerusalem before the captivity. See, those ancient ones, they had seen Solomon's temple in all of its grandeur. They had seen Solomon's temple in all of its glory. They had seen the mighty things that God had done over those years. And as we pick up reading in verse number 11, we'll find two very separate reactions to these two separate groups of people. In picking up in verse number 11, "And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy." Two separate groups of people with two very separate reactions, two sets of emotions going on within that group of people who were all in awe of the foundations once again being laid, how they had come through all that captivity, how they had come through persecution, how they had lived underneath the dictatorship of those wicked kings. And now, through the providence of God, through the promise of his prophecy, they are now once again standing 2 years now into the journey into Jerusalem, once again their homeland, the promised land that God gave unto Abraham and all of his descendants, who would be numbered as the sands of the sea. Here they are in this glorious place, witnessing this monumental event, but two very different reactions. Those young ones, they had never smelled the smoke of the sacrifice. They had never seen, witnessed the blood being shed for the covering of their sins. They had never heard the songs of Zion being sung in Jerusalem. All of this was new, and yet it was old as the white hair on those ancient ones. It was new to them. It was exciting. There was hope, and there was a brilliant future out in front of them here in Jerusalem. And then there were those ancient ones who looked at those young ones rejoicing. And they must have had some very different thoughts. As a parent, we can go through an event in the lives of our children, and we will view it very differently than what our children view it. Christmas morning is always a very big deal for the kids, and the kids just love opening the presents, and the parents really just love watching them open the presents. Two very different experiences going on around the same event. I have a 15-year-old daughter, my wife and I, Miss Angel, who just got her learner's permit. Pray now, friends, and pray earnestly. But the state of Georgia has seen fit to grant her permission to drive on the highways. And when she got that permit, she took a picture of it. She sent it to me, and she's very excited. And she made statements like this: "I'm growing up." And with a huge smile on her face and a twinkle in her eyes, she looked towards that future with great hope and great expectation and great excitement, never having experienced the thing that she's experiencing in that moment. And I looked at that picture, and I got home, and I saw my baby girl, and I saw that permit in her hand, and I didn't say with excitement, "She's growing up." But, oh, I can identify with those ancient men looking at that same event with a very different point of view. Our thoughts were probably very similar. I could have done more up to this point. I could have done things differently to make it better. I hope that I've done enough to prepare for where she's going. And those ancient men, as they saw that foundation, they saw those youthful members of the remnant who were excited about the future. Those ancient ones probably had thoughts that went along this line. We could have prevented the captivity if we just lived right in the first place. If we had not compromised, if we had not allowed the worldly influences of our pagan neighbors to take over our society, then God would not have to have punished us, and the temple would have never been torn down in the first place, and our homes would have never been burned, and the walls would have never been pulled down if we'd have just done things right the first time. But here the foundations are being laid again. With a melancholy thankfulness, I'm sure that they looked up to heaven and said, God, let this foundation stand. I'm telling you today, my friends, on the authority of God's word, we have a solid foundation that is Jesus Christ. We have a foundation that is not built like the foolish man who built his house on sinking sand. We have a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a foundation which cannot be shaken. It cannot be broken. It cannot be worked loose. It cannot be destroyed. We have a very solid foundation. And it may take going back to the foundations to get our churches where they need to be, to get our homes where they need to be, to get our families where they need to be, to get ourselves where we need to be. We get so encumbered with the world. We get so integrated with the world. We marry ourselves to the world in so many ways. I think it's time, my friend, that we take a look at ourselves, take a look at our families, take a look at our churches, and get back down to the foundations that God has laid for his people. Two very different reactions from these two groups of people. One was a reaction of joy. One was a reaction of mourning. Now, looking back and finishing up in our scripture time today, back up into verse number 12 and verse number 13. Many of the priests and Levites, and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Verse 13, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. If you've ever been in a very spirit-filled worship service, where the Spirit of God fills to overflowing his people, you will find many different reactions depending on what is going on in their life. You'll see those who are exuberant in their joyful praise, and others who are broken under a heavy burden, crying out to God, and the noise of that praise, it cannot be discerned whether it be joyful or mourning sometimes. But I want you to think about this. No matter what our perspective is, whether it is a perspective of the prospects of the future or the regret of what might have been, it doesn't matter. The only thing that really matters, my friend, is that the foundation is laid. The foundation is laid. And God might give us another chance, ladies and gentlemen, as Americans, to see the church of the living God taken back to the foundations of the way God intended things to be. If we got back in the church house, if we got back on our knees, if we got back to the Word of God, if we got back to the worship of God the way He is pleased, the noise of that would be heard afar off. It would not be a noise of entertainment. It would not be a noise of gratification of self, but it'd be a noise of something different is going on over there. God is moving over there. God is doing something over there with those people. Oh, that God would move upon us, relay the foundations of our lives, of our families, of our churches, and take us to where He needs us to be. My friend, it can happen, and the noise could be heard afar off. Thank you so much for joining us today. Pray for us now as we continue, and we'll pray for you. Join us next time here on the Riches from the Pages radio broadcast. Brother Les?
Our prayer is that the Word of God has done a work in you today. For more information on the ministry of Evangelist Adam Borden, go to evangelistadamborden.com, spelled B-O-R-D-E-N, and click on the contact page, or you can call 615-785-5682. Join us next time as we find riches from the pages of God's Word with Evangelist Adam Borden.